Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Friday, the 13th of January, 2017. We're going to be going into chapters 18, 19, and 20 of the book of 2 Kings. And 18 begins when King Hezekiah, and his Hebrew name is Hizkiah, begins to rule in Jerusalem over the tribe of Judah. Verse 1, it came to be in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hizkiah, son of Achaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Let's stop here. King Achaz, his father, built the steps of Achaz, which were a sundial. The steps were designed to tell time. And that will come into play later in these chapters as a sign from Yahweh. So remember that, the steps of Achaz. Verse 2. And you can reference 2 Chronicles 29, verse 1 for verse 2. 25 years of age was he when began he to reign, and reigned he 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi. That's 21 in your concordance. Daughter of Zechariah. Verse 3. And he acted uprightly in the sight of Yahweh according to all that David his ancestor did. He was a righteous king who followed the Torah. Now here's an important note in verse 4. You can reference Numbers chapter 21, verse 9. He did something that the other kings hadn't done. Removed he the high places, and broke he the sacred pillars, the sun pillars, and cut down the poles of Asherah, and broke in pieces the serpent of bronze that had made Moshe, because unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and it was called Nehushtan, 5180. And that probably means bronze god, as 5154, Nakush is bronze in the Hebrew. The high places were the places of Baal worship and other things. The pillars were sun pillars for sun worship. And the poles of Asherah were carved images of Asherah, the fertility goddess. And they were cut down and burned. And Asherah is also called Ishtar. And that is where we get the term Easter, because it is Ishtar Sunday for the goddess of fertility, with all the bunnies and the Easter eggs and stuff like that. That is a pagan day. That is not the proper day, which is Passover, and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But they promote this in the Judeo-Christian churches today. Verse 5. Trusted he in Yahweh Elohe Israel, that's the God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Yehuda, nor those that were before him. He really did good. Verse 6, for cleaved he to Yahweh, and turned away not from following him, but guarded his commandments that commanded Yahweh Moshe. He followed the Torah. Verse 7. And Yahweh was with him. He prospered in all where he went forth, and rebelled he against the king of Asher, those are the Assyrians, and served him not. Verse 8. Smote he the Pelishtim to Azah, and Azah is Gaza today. That was all Israelite territory, and the borders of it from the tower of the watchman to the fortified city. Get a hit of this hot coffee here. Wow, it's hot. Verse 9, and it came to be in the fourth year of King Kizkiyahu, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, remember that name, king of Asher, came up against Shomeron and lay siege upon it. Verse 10, and at the end of 3 years, they captured it in the sixth year of Kizkiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Shomeron was taken. That was the seat of the tribes of Israel, because they separated from the tribe of Yehuda. Verse 11, and carried into exile the king of Asher, Israel, not Yehuda and Benjamin, just Israel, the Syrian captivity, and put them into Kalak and in Kabor by the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Madai, those are the Medes. Verse 12, because obeyed they not the voice of Yahweh Elohim, that's their God, but transgressed, 5, 6, 7, 4, like passed beyond, his covenant, and all that Moshe the servant of Yahweh commanded, and would not hear nor do them. They were in total apostasy, and Yahweh put them into exile. Verse 13, in the 14th year of King Kizkiah did Sennacherib, king of Asher, remember Shalmaneser? Well, he was gone, and this is a new king. This is after a number of years. Sennacherib, 5576, king of Asher, came up against all the fortified cities of Yehuda and seized them. Now, verse 13, you can reference Isaiah chapter 36, verse 1, and 3 Maccabees chapter 6, verse 5. Verse 14, and sent Kizkiah, king of Yehuda, to the king of Asher, to Lachish, saying, I have missed my duty. Missed my duty is 2398. And here it means failed to pay tribute. Return from upon me, that which you put upon me I will bear. In other words, back up and I'll pay you off. And the king of Asher appointed upon Kizkiah, king of Yehuda, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And that was as a fine for not paying the tribute. Verse 15. And Kizkiah gave all the silver found in the house of Yahweh and in the treasuries of the king's house. In other words, he stripped everything and paid off this king. Verse 16, at that time did Kizkiah cut off, and the gold from is implied, the doors of the temple of Yahweh, they were overlaid with gold, and from the pillars which Kizkiah, king of Yehuda, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Asher. I'll have to explain what these words mean in this verse after. Verse 17, and sent the king of Asher the Tartan, 8661, and the Rab Saris, 7249, and Rab Shake, 7262, from Lachish to King Kizkiah with a great army against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem, and when they had come up, came they and stood by the conduit, 8585, of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the washers 3526 Field. All right, 8661, the Tartan, is a title comparable to Field Marshal, and it's a loan word from Tartanu of Assyrian origin. And Rab Saris, 7249, is the chief of the eunuchs. And Rab Shake, 7262, was a chief of the officers, like a commanding general, okay, underneath the field marshal. And the washer's field at 3526 is those that tread on clothing to wash it. Verse 18, and when called they to the king, there came forth to them Eliakim, 471, son of Hilkiahu, 2518, which oversaw the household, and Shebna, 7644, the scribe, and Yoach, 3098, son of Asaph, the recorder. Verse 19, and said Rabshake to them, speak now to Kizkiyahu, thus says the great king, the king of Asher, what trust is this, that's 986, that you trust, 982. You say but words of the lips, I have counsel and strength for war. Now upon who do you trust that you rebel against me? Evidently, the payment wasn't enough. Verse 21. Now, behold, you trust upon the staff of this broken reed, upon Mitzrayim, upon which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Paro, king of Mitzrayim, to all that trust in him. In verse 21, you can reference Isaiah, chapter 36, verse 6. Verse 22. But if you say to me, trust we in Yahweh Eloheinu, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Kizkiyahu has taken away and has said to Yehuda and Yerushalayim, you shall worship before this altar in Yerushalayim? Well, he doesn't understand that these pagan places of worship were not places of worship to Yahweh. They were pagan places. Verse 23, now therefore, please exchange pledges, 6148, and that means strike a bargain, with my master, the king of Asher, and I will give you 2,000 horses, if you are able to set riders upon them. He's mocking them because they didn't have that many troops. Verse 24. How could you turn away the face of one captain? 6346. Of the least of my master's servants, and trust upon Mitzrayim for chariots and for horsemen. In other words, one captain is worth all the troops of Mitzrayim, Egypt. You know, we could just smash you, in other words. He's mocking them. Verse 24, you can reference Isaiah chapter 36, verse 9. Verse 25, am I now come up apart, 1107, as without the knowledge of, come up apart from Yahweh against this place to destroy it? See, they knew the name of Yahweh. They didn't believe in him, but they knew the name. Said Yahweh to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Well, that's a direct lie right there. This guy's starting to dig a hole verbally for his own destruction. Verse 26. Then said Eliakim, son of Hilkiahu, and Shebna, and Yoach unto Rabshake, speak please, to your servants in Aramith. 7:62, that's Aramaic. For we understand it, and speak not with us in Yahudith. 306:6, that was a language of Yahuda, of Judah, and Judean. Speak not with us in Yahudith, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. And verse 26, you can reference 2 Chronicles 32, verse 18, and Isaiah 36, verse 11. Verse 27, but said Rabshakeh to them, has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words? Not to the men which sit upon the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own urine with you? Ooh. You can reference Isaiah 36, verse 12 for that. Because that's what happens during a famine. They were going to starve them out if they didn't obey and surrender. And here he is. He's going to mock them again and do directly what they ask him not to. Then stood Rabshakeh and cried out with a great voice in Yahudith, that's the language of Judea, and spoke, saying, hear the word of the king of Asher. He's really putting it on. And here's verse 29, and you can reference Isaiah 36, verse 14 for this. Thus says the king, let not Kizkiyahu deceive you, because he shall be able to deliver you from his hand. Verse 30, neither let Kizkiyahu make you trust in Yahweh. He shall not be able to deliver you. There's a word missing right there. I'll fix that. Neither let Kizkiyahu make you trust in Yahweh, saying, Yahweh will surely deliver us, and the city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Asher. Well, he's mocking Yahweh at this point. So this is a serious infraction. Verse 31, listen not to Kizkiyahu, for thus says the king of Asher. Make an agreement is implied here. Make an agreement with me by a present. And then eat every man of his own vine and every man of his fig tree and drink every man of the waters of his own cistern. In other words, you'll have your normal life. But here's where it changes. Verse 32. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil of olive and of honey, that you may live and die not. And listen not to Kizkiyahu when he instigates you, saying, Yahweh will deliver us. Well, he says, yeah, we're going to take you to a new land where you can be slaves. Okay, that's not a real good deal. Verse 33, has any of the Elohim, that's the gods of, little g, gods, has any of the Elohim of the nations delivered at all his land from the hand of the king of Asher? Well, of course not. They were all just stone and wood. They're nothing. Here's verse 34. And you can reference 2 Chronicles 32, verse 14, and Isaiah 36, verse 19. Where are the Elohim of Kamath and of Arpad, 774? Where are the Elohim of Sepharwayim, Hena, 2012, and Ewa, 5755? Have they delivered Shomeron from my hand? Of course not. They're just statues. Verse 35. Which among all the Elohim of the lands that have delivered their land from my hand, that Yahweh should deliver Yerushalayim from my hand? He's trying to equate Yahweh with these wooden, stone, worthless idols of these foreign nations. Verse 36, but were silent, 2790, the people, and answered him not a word, because the king's commandment said, answer him not. Verse 37, and you can reference Isaiah chapter 36, verse 22 for 37. Then came Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joach, son of Asaph, the recorder, to Kiskiyahu with rent clothing, and told him the words of Rabshake. That's what they did. They ripped their robes in grief. That was a custom in Israel. They would tear their clothing. And this guy's been mocking Yahweh, and this is going to come back on him. That ends chapter 18. Let's get into 19 here. And verse 1, you can reference Isaiah 37, verse 1. And it came to be, when heard King Kiskiyahu, that rent he his clothing and covered himself with sackcloth. He's humbling himself. And went into the house of Yahweh. And sent he Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, to Yeshayahu the prophet, that's Isaiah, the prophet, son of Amoz. 5:31. Verse 3. And said they to him, thus says Kiskiyahu, this day is a day of distress, 6869, and of rebuke, 8433, and contumely, that's insolence and arrogance, 5007, because the children are come to the place of breach, the place of birthing, 4866, and no strength to birth, 3205. That place of breach, 4866, is Mashaber, as the mouth of the womb. Verse 4, it may be Yahweh Elohecha, that means your God, will hear all the words of Rabshake, whom the king of Asher, his master, has sent to taunt 2778 the living Elohim, and will reprove 3198 the words which Yahweh Elohecha has heard. Therefore lift up prayer for the remnant, 7611, that are found. The remnant that are in Jerusalem. They're asking Isaiah to pray against them. Pray against Asher. Verse 5. So came the servants of King Kiskiyahu to Yeshayahu. Verse 6. And said Yeshayahu to them, thus shall you say to your master, thus says Yahweh, be not afraid of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Asher have blasphemed me. Oh, he heard all right. It's going to get really ugly. Verse 7, behold, I will send a spirit, 7307, upon him, and he shall hear a report, 8052, and shall return to his own land, and I shall cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Verse 8, so Rabshake returned and found the king of Asher warring against Libna because he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. Verse 9, and when he heard say of Tirhaka, 8640, king of Cush, behold, he has come out to fight against you, sent he messengers again unto Kizkiyahu, saying, thus shall you speak to Kizkiyahu, king of Yehuda, saying, let not Elohecha, in whom you trust, that's the God in whom you trust, deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Asher. And you can reference Isaiah 37:10 for that. Verse 11, behold, you have heard what the kings of Asher have done to all lands, by destroying them utterly, and you shall be delivered. In other words, you're going to get saved. Verse 12, have the Elohim, that's the gods of, have the Elohim of the nations delivered them that my ancestors have destroyed? Gozan, Charan, 2771, Retzeph, 7530, and the children of Eden, 5729, which were in Tel Asar, 8515. Verse 13, where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharwayim, of Hena and Iwa? They were all conquered and destroyed. Verse 14, and received Kizkiyahu the letter from the hand of the messengers, and read it. And Kizkiyahu went up into the house of Yahweh and spread it, 6566, before Yahweh. And prayed Kizkiyahu before Yahweh. That's verse 15. And said, O Yahweh Elohe Israel, it's Yahweh the God of Israel, which dwells between the cherubim, the cherubs, you are the Elohim, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the land, you have made the sky and the land. And you can reference Exodus 25, verse 22, and Isaiah 37, verse 16 for that verse. Verse 16, incline, Yahweh, your ear and hear. Open, Yahweh, your eyes and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to taunt, 2778, Elohim that lives, the living Elohim, the living God. Verse 17, truly, Yahweh, the kings of Asher have destroyed the nations and their lands. Verse 18, and have cast their Elohim into the fire, because they were not Elohim, but the works of Adam's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. That's right, they were nothing but wood and stone. Verse 19, now, O Yahweh Eloheinu, that means our God, please save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the land may know that you are Yahweh Elohim, you alone. Now here's verse 20, and you can reference Isaiah chapter 37, verse 21 on that. Let me finish this coffee. Oh, yes. Verse 20. Then sent Yeshayahu, son of Amoz, to Kizkiyahu, saying, thus said Yahweh Elohe Israel, that you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Asher. I have heard. Verse 21. This is the word that has spoken Yahweh upon him. The Virgin, 1330, the daughter of Zion, 6726, has despised you, 959, and mocked you, 3932. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at you. All right, now the daughter of Zion is Jerusalem, and the daughter of Jerusalem is the tribe of Yehuda. So that needs to be made clear there. Verse 22, and you can reference Isaiah 37, verse 23 for this. Whom have you taunted and blasphemed? And against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel. Now, verse 23. In this verse, they took the name of Yahweh out and put Adonai in. The scribes did that, and I have removed Adonai and replaced it with Yahweh, which is proper. Verse 23, by your messengers you have taunted Yahweh and have said, with the multitude, 7230, of my chariots I have come up to the heights of the mountains, to the far end, 3411, of Lebanon, and will cut down the tall cedar trees of it, and the choice, 4004, fir trees of it, and I will enter his remotest, 7093, lodging place, 4411. This varies a little bit from Isaiah 37:24. Verse 24. I have dug, 6979, and drunk, 8354, foreign waters, 2114. And with the sole of my feet have I dried up, 2717, all the rivers of Matzor. Okay. Matzor is another name for Egypt. Okay. Verse 25. This is Yahweh speaking against him. He's answering what he had said. Have you not heard? Long ago I did it. From ancient times I have planned it. 3335. Now I bring it to pass that you should be to lay waste to fortified cities into ruined heaps. He laid to waste all these pagan nations, and that was just fine by Yahweh. Verse 26. Their inhabitants were short of hand. 7116. It means feeble. They were dismayed and ashamed. They were as grass of the field and as green shoots of grass. 1877. As the grass on the housetops. They used to grow grass up on their housetops to feed their stock because they had flat roofs. And a blasted thing. 7711. Before it is grown up, 7054, it's like blasted with drought. Verse 27, but know I your abode. In other words, I know where you live. And you're going out and you're coming in and your rage against me. Rage, 7264. Because your rage against me and your arrogance, 7600, it's come up into my ears. Therefore, I will put my ring in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way that you came. Verse 29, and this is the sign to you. You shall eat this year things that grow of themselves. And in the second year, what springs from that? And in the third year, sow and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruits of it. Verse 30. The remainder, 7604, that escaped. Okay. 6413. Of the house of Yehuda shall again take root. 8328. Downward, 4295. And bear fruit, 4605. Upward. They're going to renew Jerusalem. Because from Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, 7611, and the escapees from Mount Zion, the zeal, 7068, of Yahweh shall do this. In other words, Yahweh's going to renew Jerusalem and Yehuda. It's not going to be destroyed yet. Verse 32, therefore thus says Yahweh to the king of Asher, he shall not enter into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, 4043. Nor pour out, 8210, a siege mound, 5550, upon it. And that's dirt poured against the city wall so they can walk up and make an earthen mound to go over the top of the walls and invade a city. Verse 33. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not enter into this city, uttered Yahweh. Verse 34. I will defend, 1598, this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant Dawid's sake. Boy, oh boy. Verse 35. And it came to be that night that the messenger of Yahweh went forth and smote in the camp of Asher 185,000. And when they arose in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. And 35 through 37 here, you can reference Isaiah 37, chapters 37, verses 36 through 38, and 3 Maccabees 6, verse 5. Verse 36. So Sennacherib, king of Asher, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh, 5210. Verse 37, and it came to be as he was bowing down in the house of Nisroch, 5268, his Elohim, that's a little g god, that Adrammelech and Sharetzer, his sons, smote him with a sword. And they escaped into the land of Ararat, 780, and Esar Kadon, 634, his son reigned in his place. So two of his own sons killed him. Just exactly like Yahweh had said. So what goes around comes around. And here is chapter 20. In verse 1, you can reference 2 Chronicles 32, verse 24. And Isaiah 38, verse 1. In those days was Hizkiyahu sick unto death, and the prophet Yeshayahu, son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, command your household, because you shall die and not revive. Uh-oh. Verse 2. Then turned he around his face to the wall and prayed unto Yahweh, saying, verse 3 is a little bit different from Isaiah 38:3. I beseech you, 577, O Yahweh, remember now how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole, 8003, heart, 3824, and have done good and your in your sight, and wept Hizkiyahu great tears. Verse 4. And it came to be, before Yeshayahu was gone forth into the middle courtyard, that the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, 5. Return and tell Hizkiyahu, the ruler of my people, thus says Yahweh Elohe Dawud, your ancestor, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. 7:4-9:5. On the third day you shall go up into the house of Yahweh. Verse 6. And I will add unto your days 15 years, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Asher, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant Dawud's sake. Verse 7. And said Yeshayahu, take a lump, 1690, of figs. And took they and laid upon the boil, 7822, and he revived. In other words, he was healed. Took all the infection out of it, because they had no antibiotics back then. If you got anything like that, it could kill you. Verse 8, and says Hizkiyahu unto Yeshayahu, what is the sign that Yahweh will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of Yahweh the third day? Verse 9, and said Yeshayahu, this sign shall you have of Yahweh, that Yahweh will do this thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow, 6738, go forward 10 steps, 4609, or go back 10 steps? And that's speaking of the steps of Achaz, his father, that he built as a sundial. Remember that? Verse 10. And Hizkiyahu answered, it is a light thing, 7043, for the shadow to decline 10 steps. That's to go forward 10 steps. Nay, let the shadow return backward 10 steps. That was a major deal. 10 hours. Verse 11. And cried Yeshayahu the prophet unto Yahweh, and he brought the shadow 10 steps backward, by which it had gone forth in the steps, 4609, of Achaz. Verse 12. You can reference Isaiah 39, verse 1, for verse 12. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, 1255, son of Baladan, king of Babel, sent letters and a present to Hizkiyahu, for he had heard that Hizkiyahu had been ill. They were on pretty good terms with Babel at that time. Verse 13, and Hizkiyahu listened to them and showed them all the house of his treasure, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, and the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hizkiyahu showed them not. Verse 14, then came Yeshayahu the prophet unto King Hizkiyahu, and said to him, what said these men, and from where came they unto you? And Hizkiyahu said, they came from a far land, from Babel. Verse 15, and said he, what saw they in your house? And Hizkiyahu said, all that in my house, that is in my house, have they seen. Okay, he showed them everything. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Whew. Verse 16, and said Yeshayahu to Hizkiyahu, hear the word of Yahweh. verse 17. You can reference 2 Kings 24, verse 13, 2 Chronicles 36, verse 10, and Isaiah chapter 39, verse 6, verse 17. Behold, the days come that all that is in your house and that which your ancestors had laid up in storage until this day shall be carried into Babel. Nothing shall be left, says Yahweh. Verse 18. You can reference 2 Kings 24, verses 14 and 15, and the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And of your sons that shall issue from you, which you will beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs, 5631, in the palace of the king of Babel. In other words, in his pride, he showed off all his stuff. And he aroused the interest of the Babylonians. And they were going to come and invade and take all his stuff. Duh. Verse 20. And the rest of the affairs of Kiskiyahu and all his might, and how he made a pool, 1295, and a conduit, 8585, and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Yehuda? That's Chronicles. And 1295 is the pool of Siloam. And you can reference 2 Chronicles 32, 30. Now remember in Yeshua Messiah's time, the pool of Siloam, where they would go down into it to be healed? Well, that stems from this time. Verse 21. And Kiskiyahu slept with his ancestors, in other words, he died. And Menashe, 4519, his son reigned in his place. Well, Kiskiyahu got some pride in him after Yahweh saved his life. And he boasted and showed off all before these Babylonian messengers. And they took note of all of this and brought word back to their king. And that king said, he's got all this stuff. Well, I'd like to have all that stuff. I think I'm going to go and conquer them and take it. So, well, that's what happened. And his son, Menashe, is a bad actor. You'll hear that in the next segment here on Monday, starting in chapter 21. His son is no good. So they had another high point with the good king, and he still made some mistakes. And they healed him with a lump of figs, which evidently drew all the poison out of the boil that he had. And Yahweh gave him 15 more years to live. Well, he got arrogant. Boy, Yahweh has blessed me, and I'm a king, and look at this, and I've got all this stuff restored to me, and I've got all this wealth and this and that and yada yada yada. Okay, well, it wasn't a good idea. But that's neither here nor there. That's how it is with men. That's what happens with these guys that get in power today. It hasn't changed. They really get the big head and get arrogant. And, oh, I'm this and I'm that, and I can do this and I can do that, and I command armies, and I have this title, and all my friends are all these rich guys, and they're putting money in secret accounts for me, so when I get out, I'll be rich. In other words, they're padding their own, they're feathering their own nest while they're in, and they don't think of the little people, which is us. We don't mean anything, because elections are a joke. They're all manipulated, basically, and they don't offer us anyone worth having. They put up for office people that are handpicked that are going to serve their means. And it's the unelected that really run the world. They're not elected officials. They use elections as smoke and mirrors to make us think that we actually have a choice when we don't. Well, we started out with a good intentions to make this a Christian nation. And we were warned by people like Benjamin Franklin and a number of the others that if you do not exclude the Jews from this country, in 200 years your children will curse you. And here we are, they revolted in 1776, and then the country really didn't get formulated in Constitution and all that till about 1780. And then you got 1880 and 1980, that's 200 years. And boy, did we ever see the results of a Jewry in this country by 1980. And it's 2017 now. And they have absolutely overrun us, and they're engineering wars all around the world and have bled us dry with their usury, and all the other countries that they've bled dry, and everything's building up to the final big collapse. And then we're going to have total panic and anarchy and violence during the period of the tribulation, and just onerous laws will be passed to keep us down. Can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast and all of that. You have to do this or have to do that. What form that mark will take, we don't know. Could be an RFID chip. Whatever. But the elect, the chosen people of Israel that have faith will resist that. They won't take it. I know I won't. I'd rather starve to death than take it, because I'll come back. I will not damn my soul for all eternity by taking that mark. Death is better. And that's a pretty heavy thing to say, you know. I mean, you'd die over this? Yes. Yes, I would. This little bit of life I have left in this body, on this planet, the way I am right now, versus eternity with my Redeemer? Oh, please! You know, what has this world got to offer me? Trouble and pain? What has my Redeemer got to offer me when I come back as one of His? They kill me here. I may not die. I may live to see His return. Praise Yahweh. May He come soon. But whatever is going to happen is in Yahweh's hands. He will make the decision for me. And it will be for my best interests and for His glory if I live and have to suffer tribulation. Okay. Because the glory will come when Yeshua Messiah returns. And it will be Yahweh's glory. We need to give glory to Yahweh, not to ourselves. He is going to defeat the enemy, not us. we must occupy till he returns. That means survive. That doesn't mean gather a bunch of wild and crazy guys with guns together and attack anybody. That's not what that means. We're to occupy and keep the faith and live the life of a true Christian Israelite until he returns, even if it is difficult and we are persecuted for his name's sake. He who loves his life will lose it. In other words, you're going to lose all the stuff that you've accumulated, because that's your life in the world. If that's your life, the world is your life, that's going to end and you're going to lose that life. But he who loses his life, and that has dual meaning, you give up all your stuff, it doesn't matter what they try to do to you, you will find eternal life. Or if they kill you for being a Christian, you will return. I mean, this body that we inhabit can't be all that there is. I'll be 70 here shortly. The body breaks down. I don't want to live in this decrepit old bag of bones that I'm living in right now for eternity. I want that new body, the divine body that Yahweh will give me, that temple, that mansion that I'm promised. I trust in him. I believe his promise. I believe it enough to put everything on the line for Yahweh, you know. And this word goes out, and I'm teaching all these things, and the enemy takes notes of what I say. I understand that. Well, you're a marked man. Okay. I'm a marked man. What's the worst they can do to me? They can walk in here and shoot me in the head. Or they can leave me alone, and I can die when I'm 90, but I'm going to check out anyway. It doesn't make a bit of difference. It's service to him that counts and living according to his laws. He wants obedience. That's all he wants from his children. No more animal sacrifice. That's taken care of. But keeping his word is what he wants. Now, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But he wants a conscientious, willing effort by us, his chosen people, to be obedient to him. Not with all the rigmarole and rituals of yore that they went through. The temple is gone, both temples. The temple is within us. That's the temple of our soul. And we need to take care of that temple, and we need to dedicate it to Yahweh. And not worried about accumulating stuff. Yahweh will give us what we need, not necessarily what we want. The old bumper sticker, he who dies with the most toys wins. No, somebody else is going to get all those toys. You don't take your stuff with you. And if you have your rewards here on earth, you will have none in the kingdom. You lay up treasures with Yahweh, and you do good to your brothers and are loving and kind and generous and follow the teachings of our Messiah. That's how you get it. So I'm going to leave, and I'll get with you on Monday. Praise Yahweh, and Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.